Welcome, everybody, to episode 22 of Virtual Boys. As you can probably see, we have a third guest. We're very happy to have Gamertag VR. We've known GT for quite a while, so it's really awesome to have him in here. Thanks for joining us, GT.
Thanks, man.
Thank you ever so much for inviting me. Thank you.
Today's topic is something that I've really wanted to talk about, and we definitely wanted a different voice in here, and GT was the first one that kind of came to mind. And the reason that is that Ryan and I have typically kept doing like kind of edited, reviewed content, and GT has kind of dominated the streaming kind of demographic, I guess, of VR. Hey, come on, you're kind of the streamer in the VR community. And
maybe.
So there's a reason. Like, I'm not just trying to
get to the point.
I'm getting to the point. I'm not just trying to blow sunshine up your ass. There's a reason why we wanted you on here, because you do represent. You do represent the, like, with the three of us, we have three different kind of approaches to content creation. And that's why I think it's, I really wanted to have that different flavor in on this conversation. Cause today's topic, which I really want to get to is there was a video that came out last week by Eric for President. For those of you who don't know, he's been doing this debate series, and this particular video really resonated with me. He had on Blair, and I can't remember
Renault.
His last name. Renault.
And Cleric, is it?
Anti-Cleric. Yeah.
And he does lo-fi. He's also had a couple of other VR games under his belt. And then they had on the content creator, Thrill Seeker, which many of you probably know. And the topic was, do content creators, are they beneficial to VR? Or are they a problem? And they talked all about this, and there was some really interesting points of view on this. And basically, the reason I decided I wanted to do this episode was one term that got coined, and it was toxic positivity. And I just sat and I thought about that. And I was like, man, that's a really interesting thing, because, you know, as YouTubers ourselves and people who consume YouTube probably a lot, we all know that negativity can sell. I mean, you can see it. It's just
controversy.
Yeah, right. You know, and just people love to see just someone thrown under the bus, trashing something. It pulls like nothing else. But this positive, this toxic positivity was a complete flip flop of that. And I guess, you know what, GT, I'll throw the first question at you just so I can stop talking.
Please.
And fuck you. And that would be how do you feel about YouTubers, I guess, and it doesn't have to just be VR, but YouTubers, specifically game YouTubers, who will not talk negative about a game at all?
There's a real big thing to this. And I hate to say it, because I put out a tweet earlier by saying everyone who's supporting VR in some way is all part of the same community. But when you're starting out on doing it, you want to be positive, because you're starting a YouTube channel because you love VR. Like, when I started doing virtual reality on YouTube, I'd already bought 80 games. Like, I'd bought everything that come out, whether it was good or shit, it didn't matter. But the point at the time, a lot of it felt really good because VR was so amazing. Like, think of the crap games that look at now. Not being funny, today, Operation Warcade is coming to Quest, yeah? And they messaged me saying, it's like, do you want to try it? And I was like, yeah. And they want $20 for that. And in my video, and I'm like, $20? Like, this game is $10 at a push, you know? It's good fun, it's mindless fun. But back in 2018... that game was pretty cool, you know. Like, it wasn't brilliant. It looked shit. I think Polish Paul gave it Game of the Year, but do you know what I mean? I'm sure he absolutely loved that game, and I was like, it's all right. It's a good bit of fun. Do you know what I mean? The inception of being inside of an arcade machine, being able to lean in and shoot things and stuff. It was that amazement. So there is a side to it where I think when people start out on YouTube, they could come across very positive. But I think you got to give them a bit of the benefit of the doubt that they genuinely probably are very positive about it, because they might be very new, as in when you've been in VR a very long time. things aren't as great and you start to see the same repetitious stuff, you start to see the cracks and you start to see developers not necessarily listening to outside influence about control methods, you know, just things that we all now, I mean, the problem is Half-Life Alyx come out like that literally raised the bar too high. It's not good. You shouldn't be positive about everything because then it's really hard to Oculus Quest Store. If you go on the Oculus Quest Store, very rarely will I see other people who are content creators give something less than 5 stars.
Agreed.
Now, to me, I think to myself, if you're going to give, I haven't actually given a 5-star on that platform yet. Because no. To me, a 5-star is like, well, a 10 out of 10 is that equivalent. It is an amazing game. But in their defense, they might be like, yeah, but this is the best VR tennis game. There is no better. But I'm like, are you going to come back and then change that? It depends. We've been doing it such a long time that you're like, oh, no, I mean, this is all right. It's not great. It's, I think it's perspective. I think perspective comes a lot into it. And then, you know, so it's not a good thing to be always positive because then I think depending on the age of the audience, they'll see through that anyway. Eventually they'll get fed up with it. You know, they'll go, this guy's just constantly positive and it's costing me a lot of money because that's what we're doing, aren't we? We're trying to help people make the correct purchase because what you're hoping is your audience latches onto you as a person and goes, I like Shug or I like Ryan. I like the games he likes. I dislike the games he dislikes. So yeah. Eventually that's how your opinion is of value. So
resonate, yeah.
That's what it's all about. So there might be a channel out there who's positive about every game, but I'm pretty sure eventually people are going to go, dude, I've fucking spent like $100 now on these games and they're not great. That's what I think will happen. That's what I think happens over time.
You would think, and I'm not going to name names here as far as who we're talking about or who we're not talking about, but I think to the point of positivity, it borders on lying, I guess. When you can preview a game, you know, let's just say you previewed Space Junkies. It's like, oh my god, this crazy awesome shooter, and when you play it, I'm sure you had a blast and stuff like that, but there was issues with that game at launch. And But if you were to do a preview video for that, and you know, the preview is all positive because it's a preview, right? And then let's just say when the game comes out, you don't do a review. You don't do a follow-up video that explains exactly how that game wasn't quite good at launch. And
that
then,
is a good thing. What you just said, I've seen people promote a preview, but then when the game comes out, they won't play it because they'd rather not be a negative. They'd rather just go.
They call whatever. That came up in the debate, and they called it kind of a hype and fizzle. And they said, "Us as content creators or influencers, whatever they wanted to call us at the time, we're less guilty for this because I think typically we're the type of guys who, you know, unless you've got special access, which we've all had from time to time, to you know, show something earlier, something which you're usually pretty good at getting your hands into GT." For the most part, we don't get games until like, you know, maybe early codes, but we're embargoed. And so our first impressions are usually kind of like of the final game as it's coming out the day of. We don't have necessarily that, you know, this is what they're talking about is that your upload VRs, you know, your real kind of journalist outlets. They're usually the ones that get these advanced copies and they're more guilty of this hype and run thing. You know, like IGN's being thrown under the bus recently with Biomutant, you know, like best. This game's amazing. Video. And then the game comes out and they're like, meh, it's not that good.
Dude, and again, we've got to be so careful not to say people's names, but there's people who do that out there with tech, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I've seen that. And that boils my blood, man. Because one of the things, like, without going too deep, I wouldn't say I've been in poverty, but I've been to a point in my life where we had a lot of good stuff and then everything went a bit wrong and we didn't have much at all. So money holds quite a value to me. And I think of it when I make content and someone asks me about the game, I always try and think about the money. And you know, like for example, HP G2, they sent me a G2. Dude, I tripped over the box of that headset more than use it. Like, And I said it, you know, it was a really good headset, visual display, everything like that, but it was so meh in all the other ways for me.
And I'm glad you brought that up because I bought one. I didn't get one, but I don't play it a lot. I find Windows Mixed Reality a pain in the ass. I find the controllers pretty weak. They're buzzy. Although I got new controllers, they fixed the buzz. But yeah, I don't play it. I don't use it because I just often when it comes to content, it's like, I'm just going to grab the Quest 2. I know it's going to work.
That is why the Quest is doing so well, because it's like putting on a hat.
And I just like, you know, and it's just like, I'm going to bring up the Oculus window. I'm going to record that. And it's just, I can't dick around with this shit right now. You know, and we all know that because it's like, I have no time in my day. I have to do this. I got to get this out. I can't be dicking around with it. And so the G2 sits there, and I trashed it in my review a little bit. Right. And I guess I have I probably have a reputation for being fairly honest about games and tech, but that doesn't always, but that problem with that, and I mean, I'm curious what you two think about this, is that you know, we've all taken stances on a game that wasn't necessarily positive, and you pay for it in the fact that, like, the next time you want that code or that content or that tech, especially in the tech world, I would imagine, where you're talking big ticket items, you don't want to be, you don't want to excise yourself. So it's like, where do you choose to stand? I don't agree with it. I can't stand the content that is just like very fluffy and positive because they don't want to make enemies. But at the same time, I totally understand why they're doing it.
No, GT made the point, and I totally back it. It's the reason why I still do what I do. I put more time into this channel than I do most other things in my life because I love doing this, and I want to help people with how they buy VR titles and how people see VR.
Well, I mean, there's a reason why Ryan's daughter still can't read or speak, because he's always in there doing videos.
I was going to say.
I just totally. Oh, no. So yeah, to get back on the track. But it comes to a point where, yeah, I've definitely burned bridges in the past where I've given a game a bad review and the developer's been like, oh, like really? Like, did you do this? Like, did you do this? And, like, I did. Like, sorry, like, your game just isn't that good. And, you know, and after that, you know, they release the next game and I don't get a response from their PR team. Or, you know, and that's fine. I get it. It is, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of, you know, it's the game we all play. But at the same time, I'm so glad. I'd way rather put out that review that slag that game. You know, it's my honest opinion. I think I'm a pretty unbiased guy. I'm not out to, like, slag on a game just because it's another wave shooter. I just avoid playing those now. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
But I try to put my honest thoughts in there. I try to, you know, I play the game as thoroughly as I can to make sure that whoever watches my video can understand what they're getting into. And to me, what's happening, what I'm seeing a lot of now is just kind of like said, we mentioned before, the kind of preview thing, but also like quick plays or, you know, even paid for content where a content creator will make a video. And obviously because it's a paid for video, it's obviously going to be positive. And it's not to say the game is terrible to begin with, but it becomes like, where is the onus on us as content creators? Like, you know, you mentioned before about being GT, about being like, you know, you get into VR and you're all positive. And I was right there with you. I was buying every single PSVR game I could get my hands on, regardless.
Everything's blowing your mind.
So there's definitely that initial hype. But at what point in time, like, you know, like right now, realistically, I think we can all agree, this is a rough year for VR as far as software goes. Like, the games are few and far between because everything's on the Quest. And the Quest, as awesome as the Quest is, it's not, you know, we're not getting Half-Life Alyx on the Quest. You need a PC to do this. A lot of the Quest, and everything's exclusive to the Quest, which is fine. Quest has some amazing titles, but we're not seeing VR games advance. Like, it's kind of, it's really stagnant right now. And I get that. It's, you know, it's a reset year for VR. So there is kind of that everyone's kind of relearning VR all over again, but, you know, it's so hard to, like, how do you stay positive when it's like, oh yay, now we're getting Operation Warcade is a good example. And like I said, that's a game. I give that game a relatively high score when that game dropped. I have no desire to play that. Not because I'm sick of it, but because VR has moved along from that, in my opinion. Oh. Like, it's way beyond that. Right. And once I love Ivanovich games, but, you know, I can't be like, yeah, guys, you should play this. And I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You got to remember, this is a perspective thing. It's your perspective, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. It's just because you're a YouTuber or a content creator doesn't mean it's any less or, well, I guess it is more valuable to some people, but it's still your opinion, and that's all that matters. If you just said, you'd be better off just not playing the game, because you're not negative about it, because you were positive about it when you were that person back then. So yeah, so like, I just played it. Oh, I mean, I had actually a good bit of fun. It was just funny. But I even said in my video, I was like, this is like a bad Godzilla film. And I actually watch bad Godzilla films. Do you know what I mean? I do. Yeah, I think they're I think they're really funny. They're crap, but good.
It is tough sometimes. I really have to stop myself and put myself into a certain headspace when I'm going to, say, review a video. Or do even like kind of, you know, even the rare times that I might do kind of a recorded Let's Play, in the fact that it's like, for a lot of people, this is going to be their first time playing something like this. Like, you know, it's like, I really have to force myself to remember, right? That like, it's like, the nice thing about all three of us is we all were such PSVR headsets. We know what it's like to be looking up and going, man, I want to play that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then now all three of us are there. We've got the tech and we're looking down going, man, it's lonely up here. Like, it's, you know, right now, at least it is. I mean, it's weird when you look at the games from 2 years ago and they're blowing away the games that are out now.
It's so weird.
I have to force myself to sit there and go, you know, like, these people who are putting on a Quest headset for their first time, they're not looking at this going, oh, it's not, you know, it's not as good as those games. It's like,
it's not Half-Life Alyx.
You know, well, I mean, and they can all see that. I mean, I guess they can see that on PC, but it's still very much like, I guess I remember, like, okay, remember jumping into Drive Club and I was like, you know, it's blurry, but holy crap, I'm in a car. This is amazing. This feels so cool. And it's like, now that we've played games like, you know, Project Cars and a set of
playing Drive Club, dude, it's like you might as well rub Vaseline over the lenses. Like, it is so blurry. Rough. Yeah. But I don't know how we managed to make our eyes focus, hyper focus.
But I mean there's a couple crappy ones out on SideQuest, but when Quest inevitably gets their first like real kind of authentic racing game, probably not gonna look very good. It's probably going to feel pretty dated, but there's a lot of people out there who are gonna be like, holy crap, they're going to be having their Drive Club moment. And it's like, I feel like, I know, I totally get what you're saying around the fact that it's our opinion and it counts and it's where we're at. But the truth of it is that there's a lot of new VR players that are looking at their influencer of choice and going, well, how is it?
And yeah, why aren't you like screaming about it? Why aren't you amazed by it?
And and it's like, it's a weird place because I don't want to just, there's been times where I've rewritten reviews where I've read them and I'm like, man, you're just coming off like a fucking grumpy old bastard. Like, you better get your shit in gear and get positive, because it's like, I don't want to, I'm not going to sit there and blow sunshine up its butt, but I have to like take a step back and go, this is fun.
Last week, I actually made a video called "Is Oculus Quest Killing PC?" And it was basically around what we're talking about, really. And I think the thing that works for me is I'm very retro. Like, I bought a Commodore 64 mini console the other day, and to be fair, those games are pretty trash. Like, they are mega trash, actually. But it's nice because then when you play the NES, you're like, like, there was big advancements. And then when you play the SNES, you're like, fucking hell, man, this is Half-Life Alyx. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm very aware of what the Quest is and where it is, so I can sort of sometimes look past graphics and go, what is actually here underneath? And I think that's another thing that VR suffers with, that some games are all about the VR. Like, it's the virtual reality bit that they're hoping wows you to the point that they might not have to put too much of a game in there. And that's when something happens like Onward. The Walking Dead, Onslaught. Like, that game, well, it's funny you said about damaging. I don't know if you do you remember when I reviewed Onslaught?
I remember you hated it.
You were not a fan.
I remember that.
Oh, my God.
I remember some people were hard on you saying, well, he didn't even play that much of the game. But I remember watching your review and going, I don't think he could get any further in the game. Like, he just hated it that much.
I've only hated one thing before, and it wasn't that. I didn't hate it. It was just,
it pissed you off. I could tell.
It came off as like a waste of time because I played it at Gamescom and it had so much potential. You know, like, I played it and they had like this X-ray stabbing thing there, you know, when you stab them, it kind of gave you like a quick X-ray vision of where it went in and stuff. And I was like, this looks really cool. And then I imagined multiplayer, you know, chucking clips to each other, guns. And I was like, this is going to be a really decent, it's kind of going to be what I think After the Falls will be.
Absolutely. I think they should have stuck to their guns. I think they got,
well, did you know they got like a bit, that game turned into like a big arcade contract for them?
Oh, really?
So I think, I'm pretty certain that's what ended up happening. It got arcaded, you know, like, and in my review, as I said, like, I just stabbed, I don't know how many zombies it was, 20, 30.
But that's so fun. Like, oh, I didn't hate that game, so.
I didn't hate it.
I think you liked it the most out of all three of us, actually.
I think I actually gave it a fairly positive review to some. But, like I said, you know, but that was a mental check where it wasn't so much the fact that I had to go, oh, like, what are new gamers going to think of this? It was more just like, okay, I've got to look at this with Saints and Sinners not in the picture.
Exactly. It's perspective.
And it's fun. I mean, like,
graphically, it was good as well. I actually preferred the graphic style of that over Saints and Sinners, because it looked more realistic. Totally. Like, the zombie was in your face.
It did. I agree with that. But, you know, that was a game where I had to really force myself to go, look, you know what? I am having fun with this, but you've got to have a right. You've got to go into it with, like, knowing what it is. And that's what that's how I've often tried to approach. I just review games the way I liked to read them back in the day.
I was going
to
say, I don't go in there with any expectations. Like, because I think sometimes, the only thing I try and concentrate on is my mood. If I'm not in the mood, don't do it. You know, that you just wait till you're having a normal, decent day and you feel good and you're fine. You know, and I think, like, whatever crap I've been through in the past, I can try and switch to that. Like, the job I do is very safety critical. You know, I've dealt with people losing fingers, shock, stuff like that. So you've literally, I go into work making sure everyone else is fine. And then, I've got to look out for them. So I literally can leave myself behind a little bit and be like, well, that's work GT now. And same as on YouTube, that's YouTube me. You know, it sounds really tacky, but when I turn up that little sign on up there, that little GT sign, I think to myself, right, I'm working. Totally. It sounds stupid. So, but when you're in one of those really bad days, I just think stay away from it. And Onslaught, I went into so excited, and I just remember like thinking, God damn, I was just, that was probably my, and you know, plus there was that issue where basically I was the first one out there because of a miscommunication, and I had everyone going to me, leave it up. And I was like, no, I don't want to burn my bridges with Survivors. And they were like, dude, your review's so bad, it doesn't matter. Like, you've already done that. And I was just like, fuck's sake. So I actually killed the video. It was my fastest, still to this day, the fastest viewed video I ever had. But analytically, I murdered it. It was stupid, like, how fast it was going. And
I want negativity, right? And it was
controversial, I guess.
I want to see GT absolutely burn a game down that's high profile. Like, there's something like, and then it trends, the analytics kick in, and all of a sudden you're like, that's, it's crushing now. And my question to you is, have you ever felt pressured around the fact that, like, you know, people we know, people we're friends with, some other YouTubers who, you know, are just like crushing it, like, you know, 100,000, 200,000 subscribers. They put out something and the views are just like ridiculous, but they rarely talk anything negative. It's very hype. I don't want to say fluff pieces, but it's very much like, here's my video and there's some gameplay and I had some fun with it. And then it's quickly edited and it's put out there and it crushes. Have you yourself ever been tempted to kind of go, well, damn it, you know? Man,
yeah, of course.
Like, we all look at numbers, you know? And it's, I mean, have you ever felt that, like, man, I guess maybe I just need to put out that shit?
Absolutely. dude, so many times. There's, oh man, more times than I can count. More views than, more time, more times than I thought that probably than the views I've had. I don't know. You know, like, you'll be thinking, the thing I think to myself at the end of the day is, maybe it's me. Maybe people don't like me, or maybe people do like me. And there's that factor that I can't change who I am. So that's all I can do. And then you can just focus on editing stuff. But you're right. Like, I've seen some channels out there, they blow up over what I would, some content I would never do, you know, like Vorpex. Vorpex, for example, yeah. Vorpex is a fantastic way of getting views because you can pick any popular game in the PC scene that is trending and add the title VR to it.
And you've crushed it. I mean, and you've had some videos that have crushed, like Zelda.
Zelda. Yeah.
I mean, you've had some real success with that. I don't necessarily, and I mean.
Oh, not with Vorpex, though. I can't stand Vorpex.
And I guess those weren't Vorpex games. No, but they're modern games. And, you know, I don't even say that. I don't look at that as a negative. I would, like, I don't look at you doing the Zelda content or something and go, oh, yeah, he's just whoring himself with the Zelda title. I look at that going, damn, I wish I'd done that first.
No,
like, I wasn't even the first. I don't know how that video done what he did.
But you definitely, it definitely captured. You were one of the first, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you definitely have made some good moves like that.
To GT's point, like, you know, he basically said, like, these Vorpex channels who, like I said, you pick whatever flavor of the week is happening, cover that game, put a VR at the end of it, and you're good to go. Whereas, you know, if GT were to do a Vorpex title, you know, like Vorpex is a thing in VR. Like, this is an actual thing. This is so telling the community and telling people who are coming in that Vorpex is a thing that you might be interested in. That's fine. That's totally cool. But like you say, when your channel is totally pandering towards non-VR titles in VR, then sure, you're not really selling VR properly. And that's kind of what this conversation I wanted to bring it back to is the fact that like where, if any, I guess, is the obligation on content creators to sell VR, but also keep it realistic. I mean, like I said, Vorpix, you know, you can say, oh yeah, Call of Duty in VR, and then it'll grab views and it's Call of Duty in VR. But Call of Duty in VR does not exist. It's not a real thing. And then we're covering Quest stuff. Me and Chris just covered Zero Calibre, which you did as well. And we slagged the visuals. They're like, it was a brutal looking game for Quest.
Outside that game, yeah.
It's brutal. And we had fun. The gameplay is there. It's a little bit janky, but it's still there. And how, like, you know, it always, like, where is it? Like, do we just say, like, yes, this is Zero Calibre and it looks shitty, but it's a military sim shooter in VR. Like, you know, depending on how you label your video and label your title, you can kind of sell that as being a way bigger thing than what it actually is. And it comes back to content creators, not even including the paid for stuff, but just how in 2021, how do we sell VR without lying about VR? Because it seems like the Quest is kind of changing the whole market, but it's not the true VR market. I mean, being untethered and just the stuff that Oculus has done is amazing. But like you said, like the best experiences in VR, minus Beat Saber, Super Hot, and a few others that are on the Quest, they're all on PSVR or PC VR. And to me, it's really weird to be like what in 2021, what headset would you buy and why? And it's like, well, you know, if you like simple shit, Quest is really good, you know, and the Quest has some really good, you know, obviously it's got Saints and Sinners, which is phenomenal on the Quest, but it's like, well, like the best, you know, PSVR arguably has the best exclusives out of any headset currently still. And, you know, the PSVR headset, it kind of sucks, but it has the best games. And so circling back on this thing, it's how do we sell VR to, or how do we promote VR? I guess that's our goal, is to promote VR without unintentionally lying about it, I guess, is kind of where.
There's two things though. There's two factors here. You're looking at it from, so you can carry on doing like the right thing, but it's all about morals, isn't it? For example, I've got a manager at work. He's an absolute dick. Like, that guy will, outside of work, think we're friends. He'll want to be my friend, actually. But at work, it's fine for him to be an absolute knob, yeah? But outside of work, he'd be like, yeah, we're friends. And I'd be like, oh, we fuck. Like, you're a fucking, you're a dickhead there, so you're a dickhead all the time. Do you know what I mean? You can't go, but I'm a manager at the moment. I'm like, nah, dude. So that's a bit like, I feel like with YouTube, you can go, yeah, but I'm doing this because it works. I get that. That's what it is. Unfortunately, YouTube does work. Big colors, big statements. Yep. Yeah, all that crap, you know, and that's what it's down to. So it's not like when you're saying about selling VR, you're on about basically trying to get numbers that matter to what you're doing for what you're selling. So you can either go down the route of just being you and being honest and not doing clickbait and See, clickbait's a funny thing, because at the end of the day, I think clickbait is about, does the thumbnail and title, when you click that, become what you're going to watch? Because sometimes it can not be that. Like, when the perfect one is Call of Duty VR. Like, it's not Call of Duty VR. It hasn't been Call of Duty VR, you know? Like, for when I done Dash Dash, I would say this game is the Mario Kart VR. Like, it's the best kart game we've got in VR. But it's sailing close to the win for me, you know? Like, I'm like, because Mario Kart for me, like, I played it all my life on every system. Yeah. Always loved it. But I do actually really, really like Dash Dash. And it is the closest thing to a Mario Kart in VR. But when someone, and that's the thing, you can go from another way. You can question it. Is this the Mario Kart of VR? There's so many different ways of doing it.
I do. I'll put a question mark on the end of it. So if anybody calls me being a shill, I'll be like, there is a question mark. It's like, you got to play the game. And this came up in the conversation with over at Eric, is they were saying, it was, Thrill was saying, in some ways, it's almost kind of demoralizing. And he said, in the fact that, like, it almost doesn't matter if the video's really good or not. If it has a good thumbnail and a good title, he's like, it'll probably crush in the analytics.
And that's not true as well, because I think my thumbnail is pretty good, and I don't think I'd crush it. So I don't know.
I mean, I agree. Your thumbnails are pretty good. And I've had some thumbnails that I thought were, that I was really proud of. I think we all have. And I was like, really, guys? Come on. But it's like,
that's what I'm trying to say. Like,
but what they were saying was, it's like, if you can, regardless of how you do it, if you can work the algorithms to your benefit just to get into that top feed, it doesn't really matter even if it's good. Like, it'll get the clicks, so it starts showing up in the recommendation feed. Like, and this fed into kind of, I guess, another thing that really got me thinking. So this surprised me. This is what the developer had to say. So take it or leave it. But he said that for him and his developer friends and his time with, cause he used to, what did he work on? He worked with, Rockstar Games and stuff. So he knows analytics around games, big games and small games, obviously with VR. And he said that what would surprise people was that some of your biggest YouTubers and your biggest videos don't correlate to sales.
I was told that the very first time, I think when we interviewed To The Top on the PSVR chat show years ago, like, I was chatting to him, and I think Jacksepticeye and someone else had played that game, and he was like, but it doesn't turn into views. He went, like, they didn't know. They were thinking, this is it. This is it. Jacksepticeye has just played our game.
Yep.
Maybe PewDiePie plays it. Whoever else who sees, that's a trend. VR was new then. You can put a VR headset on in your thumbnail. Look amazing. Cool. And he said, like, didn't really do anything for him in sales. So yep. I've always sort of been aware of that particular
thing.
That's
interesting, because I would think that if, you know, let's keep it in our world. Let's say Thrill Seeker or Oasis or Nathie or someone covered a small game.
It depends.
You would
on the...
think the awareness would be like just there, but what he was talking
I
about,
I think it
was
depends
that...
on the game. I mean, To The Top was a great game, but realistically, if you're selling it to a casual like player, maybe that game isn't really quite as good as we think it is.
Because what he was saying, which I thought was interesting, was he said that the disconnect, and this is something Ryan and I have covered before, is that the storefronts don't necessarily support the games well. And he said there's a real disconnect between watching a YouTube video and going, that looks cool, and going to the store and buying it or being able to find it.
I just want to go back quickly.
Go back.
Because I'm terrible at remembering this stuff. I think you might be doing yourselves a disservice sometimes, because you've got to realize the you are your crowd. Yeah. So you do reviews. Yeah, you don't do full playthroughs. You do review, especially you, Ryan. You do, your life is reviewing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You got a website and all that stuff.
Yep.
So your opinion, when I think Thrill Seeker said on Lo-Fi, he sold 50 copies. Mm-hmm. Have you worked out the maths of that video views of when he did it? Because I think he streamed it as well. And then he cut the stream down to gameplay to mention it in the Tuesday Newsday. So I don't know. I'm going to guess there's 200,000 views there. And at the time, 3 days later, he'd only sold 50 copies. So people who watch Thrill might not actually care that much about his opinion on a game. They might care about his opinion on some news or something. You know, it might be that thing. But when you guys say something or someone like that, that's what you see what I'm saying? Like, it depends on the category of the YouTuber and the channel. Ryan, you might go, oh, I've only got 1,000 views on this video. But dude, you might have just sold like 500 copies of that game.
God, I hope the case.
You won't ever know. You won't ever know, though. I know. You don't get any affiliate for that. Like, I'm with this Sneak Energy thing.
Yeah.
And I started doing that, and I was just like, I had no idea that would work. No idea. But what he's shown to me is, like, people do trust. Like I've been offered a few things. I've been offered quite a few things because of TikTok, actually. But I don't take them because I think they've got nothing to do with VR, nothing to do with the channel, and I'm just fucking not interested in them. But Sneak was something I liked anyway, and I was like, yeah, this is really cool. I can use it for the gym as well, blah, blah, blah. So it's been a great crossover product for me because I do actually want it in my life. It sounds too much. Like, that sounds heavy, but I do. I love it. Every day I have it. So for that to happen is cool. But then for me to then sell it to someone else, they must go, my small audience, and I do think it's quite small, will go, with GT likes it, it must be a good product. So that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I think I'm like in the 210 users in just over a month or a month and a half have bought Sneak products because of my placement. So, and I've got that data directly, you know, I know that. So I think to myself, that's kind of like, relates back to what you guys do. You might only have 5,000 subs or 20,000 subs, whatever it is, depending on the category of your channel and the content you put out is how much of an impact you have. Because some people don't, I think with Jacksepticeye, people like that, like if PewDiePie reviewed a game, I'd be like, what the fuck's he doing? But I just want to see him like talk about TikTok or shit. When he plays a game, a playthrough, he actually does a full playthrough. And my son will watch a full playthrough and play the game, and he won't buy the game.
Yeah.
He's watched him play it. But there's a whole generation of people who don't play a game because they've watched someone else do it. So,
I won't lie. I mean, I am that older generation. And when we first started this thing, and I was doing reviews and you were doing streaming predominantly, there was part of me that was kind of like, I don't consume streamers because I don't want to.
You don't want the game ruined.
I don't want to watch the game. I want to play the game.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, and there is those type of people, obviously, but there's a huge audience, obviously, now who really wants to just go through the game with you. They want to,
yeah.
It's like watching a TV series for them.
Yeah. I'd love to do that. I just can't. I don't have time.
But one thing that there is an advantage to doing, say, the more live type content that you've made your kind of channel around is there is an engagement there. Like if Sneak came to me and asked me to sponsor their drinks, what am I supposed to do? Like right in the middle of a video? Hey guys, by the way,
PewDiePie does Sneak
every day. Yeah. And I hate PewDiePie with a
passion. I like him.
But isn't that a perfect example though? Is that like, you like his content and your content is a little more lively. Whereas I watch that and go, I can't fucking stand this guy. I'm watching, this isn't going to surprise anybody. I watch ACG. As a reviewer, it's like shocker there because my content, I definitely watched his content and gone, oh, this is like the gamer magazines back when I grew up. I want to do VR reviews like that. So we are influenced by what we like. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Your content might be influenced by his content, for example, and his content might be like one of the things someone told me was a lot of the bigger channels watch the smaller channels because they see what trends micro size for them. And then they go, right, yeah, if I cover it, it's going to be absolutely massive. So,
let me bring me back to the core of our question, though. I think it's really interesting because we've kind of covered some of the topics here. Are the big channels, let's say, and I'm going to be a little more specific, I'm not going to use names, but some of the big channels in the VR scene that are very focused on kind of, let's call it more fluff content because it's kind of more like, here's the game and I'm playing it. Not a lot of an opinion in there. Is it good for VR or is it bad for VR? Like in the long run, I mean, like you said, well, people will realize that it's kind of like bullshit content, or it'll realize that they'll realize that like it didn't really speak to them, you know, like it kind of misrepresented the game. You know, they can only buy so many games that they felt like kind of got hyped and then they got burned on. But the views don't seem to support that for some of these channels, and they keep growing. So there must be a market for that. But I still have a real concern about whether it's good for VR or whether it's actually part of the problem that you have some of your biggest channels promoting false expectations. Like, are they actually in the long run, because they're popular and continuing to be popular, are they actually the reason VR is stagnating? Because they're not, because people are not getting the true, like, okay, guys, adjust your expectations.
Yeah, you're basically removing criticism is what you're talking about. So basically you're seeing games only in positive light, and then you don't see them again. This is kind of how we opened the show up. But, you know, like I said, is that doing a disservice or is that a good thing? Because it's going to move headsets regardless, because people are going to see, you know, Zero Caliber on the Quest and be like, all right, let's do this.
Sometimes it's so frustrating to be like, oh, man, like, you're not representing this game. You're not helping the industry because you're not being critical about it. In some ways, it's like those developers need to hear this shit. Like, there's a reason why we're still not getting games with smooth turning in there, because there's so many channels, including IGN, your big guys too, when they decide to jump onto a VR.
Oh, God. They're like,
yay, VR, or, oh, it's making us sick. It's like
Borderlands, man.
But it's just,
that was mental.
It's either, they're either uneducated in the game itself or in VR gaming, or they're just choosing to not be critical because they want to play the game. And I don't know. I mean, we all got started in this because we loved VR.
Yeah.
And I think that's for real. Like, one thing about the three of us that I will say is I think that we're all gamers first.
Oh, absolutely. I just want to add one more thing. Actually, my very first video was me swearing a lot and moaning about, which I think I deleted. I might have it still. It was playing, what was that bloody game on PSVR? It's like a horror game. It had like this witch in it.
Witch? It's not Rush of Blood then?
No, it had like a lady in it. She had like a dressing gown on in part of it. And then at the end, it was like a witch in a cage. She had a big claw. Fucking hell, what was that game? Don't Knock Twice? Is that right? Is that right?
I mean, that's definitely a horror title on PSVR. I don't really remember the end of that game.
Okay. But. So, yeah, when I played that, dude, there were so many glitches.
Yes.
But I found them really funny in VR, because what I could do is, like, get up and walk through walls and, like, look at different parts of the game. And things were going wrong. And I just thought, I just pressed the share button. I slagged the game off, and then the big one was Doom for me. That's when because instead of moaning, I actually enjoyed helping someone, and that was pretty much how I got started. Really, that was it. Just when you do that, and someone goes, "Oh, thanks for that." That was IGN as well. That was IGN messing up, saying there was no smooth turning in Doom VFR when I was playing it with smooth turning.
Oh, I got my Borderlands VR review is one of my biggest reviews, and I 100% owe that to IGN. Because I was one of the only ones that got a review out, and then there was IGN's. And IGN gotten so much crap for, like, the guy obviously not playing the game and not going to the settings and not knowing VR, that, like, I started getting dropped in the comments saying, well, if you guys want to see another review. And I was like, thanks, IGN.
Wow.
You crushed it. And funny enough, in that video, I actually slagged IGN with a little baby with an IGN logo on his head, sucking his thumb. I was making a comment about them going, wah, you know, I feel sick. And that ended up in the video that IGN promoted for me. So that was funny. I don't even know.
I've seen all the stuff you're talking about, and I've seen channels just come out of nowhere. I've seen channels that have been part of my channel, and, you know, they've done things to try and promote themselves in my chat and stuff. And now they're like triple my size, you know, they're doing whatever they're doing. And I think at the end of the day, when I get frustrated and I think to myself, what can I do to change it? Maybe you can look at it from a technical point of view, but you should never change yourself. And I think that will keep you'll be happier in the long run doing what feels right You know, like I think you can always upgrade your audio, your camera, you know, and maybe add a bit more of an intro or something like that. But if you literally go, I'm going to do what that guy's doing, your audience will be like, yeah, I've already seen this type of content on the other guy I was already watching, which is the guy you've got the ump with because he's got loads of views. So it's like, you can't, you just got to stay doing what you're doing a little bit. But obviously, it's always, I say focus on your plate. It's always good to look around, see what everyone's doing and what they're doing, and then just work out, are you capable of that? Can I just play a game and go, this is great, and this is great, and this is great. Oh, this is so good. This is great. if you can't do it, what's the point of ever getting jealous of it? And that audience will never resonate with you, because that's what you've got to remember. They're real people who have subscribed to you, and there's a reason. And the reason is because they like you as a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
And that's true. it is true. You know, like, I mean, look, you know, like, I don't like PewDiePie. PewDiePie crushes it. I mean, really, is it a conversation there? It's like, I'm wrong. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the scope of things, I'm like, I'm obviously not getting...
You're in the minority.
Like, you know, it's like, and I can't do what he does. And, like I played Demio. Right. I played Demio with a guy named, a YouTuber called Your Commentator, who I'd never heard of before. And he does a lot of YouTube stuff. And I actually had a ton of fun with him off camera. Totally my type of person. But watching his content, I was like, man, I can't do that. Like, just lots of quick jump cuts.
Yeah, he works with Josh Dubb in that, doesn't he?
Totally does.
Yeah. I could never do that stuff. I don't think that sells VR.
No.
I think they use VR for comedy. I'm fine with that.
I don't think he's misrepresenting VR either, though.
No. I think they're using the tech.
Like, fine, whatever.
Yeah, they're using it as, like, a good use thing. But yeah, like, there's only a minority of people who've come to my channel and gone, the first place I saw. Do you know what I think happens is they see Josh Dubb. Yeah. And they go, this is well funny. Hold on. This looks a bit like, this isn't a game. It's like he's in VR or something. And then they find your channels because you've got the info. That's what I think. But that's what I'm saying. Unless you're going to sit there and just laugh at the square song, whatever, you know, all that stuff that works for people. They're going to go, VR, that looks really cool. You know, like I think the biggest ones, I mean, it does obviously a lot of VR chat now. A lot of channels are doing VR chat now because of that. But when he was doing Zero Calibre, when he was doing like Pavlov or whatever it was, that's when they come and look for other channels because they want to know, what is this game even called? Does he even mention the game? Would they even go, by the way, guys, I'm Josh Dubb and we're playing Zero Calibre? Probably not ever.
Yeah,
just jumps in, does the sketch.
Not the point. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the point. And it's not the audience. It's the, you know.
But I think that goes back to something that you said earlier on, actually, that kind of resonated with me around the fact that you've got there's a lot of young people coming into the VR scene now with the Quest that literally, it's just the PSVR. I think the PSVR spoke to much more of us, like the 30 somethings.
And what are your analytics on your channels? Because what ages groups are you?
Not young. I skew like I'm like 28 to 45 type thing. Like I'm the same.
Yep.
Like to be honest, GT, I'm surprised. I thought you'd skew. I'm not surprised that you wouldn't grab that group too. But I thought you'd skew lower because your content is what a lot of streaming is what a lot of younger audiences are going for.
Yeah, but then maybe they see me and I'm not young.
you gotta be like 19.
But that's true. And you're not necessarily catering to that younger.
And I'm not necessarily up on the memes. I might not be necessarily up on, you know, the slang they're using, whatever you want to call it, man. Like maybe I'm just not doing that stuff. So I have got some young people. I mean, the youngest I think I know of is possibly 14. And but
like I gave away some quests and my Discord.
Did you say you gave away some quests?
I gave away a few quests.
Yeah, like, I've given away one. Like you give away some.
I've been fortunate to get a few to give away, but I also put my money where my mouth was too. And I also don't really think that necessarily I can speak from my personal point of view. I don't think that giving away giveaways like that has necessarily been overly positive for the channel. It definitely brings in an audience, but it's not necessarily an audience that is going to return. But what I was going for is my Discord got so filled with young kids and it was so obvious. And then I started getting comments on my videos that were like so obviously from younger kids. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this. This is weird. This is
yeah,
odd.
Yeah.
I'm used to the guys who are like, I can't find the time to play VR these days. I got two kids and a full-time job. And my wife sucks. Like, yeah, you know, it's that kind of demographic. And because we were the ones that were like, I think immediately like, oh, I'm all in with VR. I don't even care what it looks like.
So I think like personally, I wasn't one of the first to play Quest. But I was one of the first to make videos on it because I was talking to developers and they were telling me about it and telling me things about it that was well before other people knew, like about the inside out tracking, the fact that you can have multiple rooms stored and as guardians and all that stuff. One of my biggest videos back at the time was actually a Quest video, and I remember thinking, dude, I might actually do Quest content. You know, like it's the same thing. There's a guy at the moment who's got a video. He's an eye doctor. His content is all eye doctor stuff. And I. So I then thought to myself, like, I've seen it a couple of times on channels. They might play flat games. Yeah. Animal Crossing, whatever. And yeah, 300 views. Yeah. That's where they're doing 2,500 subs, whatever. And they're cracking on. They've been doing it for a few years. And then they make a VR video. And like, that's the thing. You guys have been making VR videos forever, but you don't get this sudden whoomph. And they're like, whoa, I've got like 40,000, 80,000 views on this fucking shit. People want to know about VR, and they do it again, and they do it again. And analytically, YouTube goes, that's all about you, man. People love VR and you. And then their channel goes into a VR channel. And the eye doctor, I messaged him, and I was like, dude, your Quest videos are doing really well. You know, you've got two videos out now. I said, how long before this channel becomes a Quest channel? You know? And he was like, no. His next video, I'm pretty sure it's another Quest video because he will struggle with it in the end because you're deviating from what you started with, what you wanted to do, what you wanted to bring to the world, you know, because when you're doing so, you think to yourself, yeah, I want a voice, you know, and it becomes addictive to have an opinion and a voice. He wanted to help people with eyes, but he was getting like 300 views a video. His thumbnails are fantastic. His setup's really good. Everything's really high quality. There's just no one's that interested. But as soon as you talk about eyes in VR and put a Quest in the thumbnail, people are like, dude, you know?
I think that that'll wear thin.
Yeah, absolutely. He will make another eye video about something and it'll tank. And he'll be like, I don't like that. And that's what happens.
Then he'll change again. Yeah. And I mean, you know, and that's the thing. And I guess, you know, we should probably start to wrap up things, but I want to end on on kind of a bomb, I guess, that is the term that kept coming out of the Eric for President was grifting, pay to play.
Okay. Pay to play. We're going then.
Basically pay to play. And how, how that sat with developers and also with like Thrill Seeker, who kind of admitted that yes, he had taken some money, didn't feel great about it. But it kind of came out throughout the conversation that he's done it a few times too, because he's like, kind of like, it's tough. He's like, there are games that I would never have covered that I covered because they offered me money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of like, he's like, it's a tough spot because he's like, typically he's like, I don't really like covering things I don't like.
I think that's a difficult one. I don't think, for example, I was offered some money to play a game called VAR Extinction or something.
Yeah, same. I think we all got that email.
What a load of shit. Like, I played that game and I was like, this is fucking awful. Like, and I was going to message you. Did I message them? I think I messaged them something. I can't remember. But I wanted to say, look, if you want to pay me to do this video, I'll do it, but I will trash it. I will just say it is shit. Like, there's no two ways about it. And then, but that's my opinion. And then someone else played it and it was paid and they liked it. And I went to them and I was like, how did you play this and give anything positive about it? Because I said, if it was like 2017, that game would have been like a 6 then, like in 2017. In 2021, that game's fucking dead. You've got to look after your audience. That's what I feel is the main thing.
And I agree with you. And I'm not someone who's gone after those things. I've received a few offers. I've said no. I've got a rate card. I've never really flexed it. I mean, part of it is kind of like, I guess it, like one thing Thrill said that resonated with me, it was this kind of thing. It's like, I love VR. I got in this because I love VR and I wanted to talk VR. I wanted to find people to talk to about VR because my friends didn't care. And that was
very true.
I got into it really.
That's very true.
And I found YouTube. Like, I mean, honestly, like, we go back and it's like those early days, in the PSVR and our Twitter and like, and just talking to each other. It was like, I found my people. Yeah. And GT's been vocal about this in our group and stuff, is that some of that's gotten lost over the years with competition and some people who played the game dirty. And I think that all comes down to like, that all kind of comes together. But what we're talking about is kind of like, that's that like dirty underbelly of YouTube, period. Not just the VR group, but the fact that like, you know, you've got people that are taking large amounts of money sometimes from developers or publishers or PR companies. They promote a game super heavily. They don't have anything bad to say and they're getting paid for it. And it's just like, sucks, because it's pulling and it's like, and it's a weird place. Cause it's like, we can complain about it and just come off like a bunch of like guys that aren't getting the views. But at the end of the day too, I think for me, at least personally, I care the most about what's good for the VR industry. And I do. And I guess there's a little bit of responsibility there that I can't just sit there and just go, holy crap, this is the best fucking Quest game I've ever played. This thing's amazing. Meanwhile, I'm in the back of my head going, played this in 2016.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I think we're, you know, it's one thing, you know, even with all three of us rather, you know, I really stuck with these GT is like staying true to your audience. And I think what's those you said, you know, like the when Blair said, you know, after Thrill Seeker did his video and there's 50 copies moved, to GT's point there, it's like people watch your content for one specific reason, but will seek out others to find out the actual information about said game. And that actually really stuck with me, GT, because I think you're bang on there. And it actually kind of made me change my mind about how I thought about even the paid stuff. As far as that paid content, where, yeah, if you get that message out there, maybe then it's not going to do much as far as the VR industry then. But if it does point people in the right direction towards finding the tried and true VR guys who are doing it because they love VR, not because they're trying to get clicks. Yeah, I think I back that quite a bit. I think that's a really good statement, GT.
I've been sponsored quite a few times now and I cannot figure out why. Like, I go with it. Like, I was offered to be sponsored for actually The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners. And naively, I was like, no way, dude, early access, I'll do it for free. But I didn't, and that's genuinely what happened, right? So I said it to one of my friends and he was like, oh, he went, now you've made us all look bad. I was like, I don't know, man. I was like, at that time, to the level of where my channel was and who I was like, a key's enough, you know? But then obviously, like, and then things change, you know, you end up trying to cover everything and time is money. That, you know, that statement everyone does. So when you want to play a game and someone says, we want to pay you for playing that game, I say yes. Simple as, because I've played it anyway. If you're going to pay me to spend, I think the hardest thing about YouTube is as you grow is keeping up with comments and stuff. So it's not just making the video, it's aftercare. That comes into all that stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely interaction.
There's a lot there. There's a lot. A two-hour video is 8-10 hours work, easy, really, in total.
But I mean, and that, you know, it's more than just the content that goes out there, like you said, about like whether an audience is going to find you. It's also, I'm sure that there are some YouTubers in this VR community who aren't reading their comments and aren't engaging. Either they're too big or they don't care. Like, it's just not what they're, it's not their jam, right? Whereas, like I said, from when I had 100 subs to 20,000 subs, it's never changed the fact that, like, I wanted to talk VR. And I loved the comments. I still love the comments. I love getting in there and going, well, have you thought about this? And no. And I like, and it's like, I didn't cover that in the review. That's a good question. I like that.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's good.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's what I wanted. I wanted that.
There will be a time though, but if you grow, you won't be able to. You won't be able to keep up with those comments, possibly, which would be great. What a great position to be in.
That's a good problem.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. Yeah, it'd be a real problem, but it will happen. You know, if you keep doing well, that will happen eventually, and you'll have to go like to yourself. I would dedicate 1 hour. Like in my mind, this is what I do. I put out a video, and I will spend 1 hour when that video is up to give as much feedback to the people who bothered to watch it in the first place. That's how I've managed it myself, you know, because I care about my mental health. And even though I've been really shit lately, I do try and put things in place to keep myself here for the long run. I do try. And that's one of them.
And we've seen, you know, we keep talking about the big YouTubers, but we've also seen YouTubers come up from underneath us and burn out.
Quite a few channels actually.
I mean, we've even seen some of the guys, you know, the big guys, bigger guys too. Like, I mean, you know, you've obviously our buddies with BMF, and he was very vocal around Christmas time that he was burning out.
And yeah, it's hard.
He's like, I lost my hair, and he's like, and I really have to like take a. He had to take a step back, and then kind of like decide where he wanted his efforts to go, and like that really spoke to me because I walked away from the channel for 4 months because I totally gave up the lead to GT. Damn it. But you know, I walked away from
out of this three, I was the first one to hit 1,000. I mean,
I just burned out.
Since then, everyone else has crushed me, but that's beside the point.
It's amazing.
But I'm just, you know, but I'm just saying, like, I burned out. It was just work.
You say burn out, but maybe you hit a safety buffer that was very important. It's survival. It's a survival instinct. If you would have carried on, who knows what would have happened? Well, you know,
I had one YouTuber in specific that is fairly well known, and he reached out to me when I was dealing with a pretty big depression, and I just couldn't do it. I didn't want to talk to people. The idea of sitting there and putting in that time and stuff was just like, I couldn't do it. And he reached out to me and kind of said, hey, I've secretly walked away from my channel 3 times. And I was like, okay, you know, like it's a burnout that a lot of people who watch us and don't do content don't necessarily appreciate, that it's, you know, like, it's like, I'll never again shit on somebody for like, wanting to have like a Patreon or something. Cause it's like, you know, it's a lot of work, man. And even though we make some money,
even though we make some money on the
monetization side, break that down. What you think you're earning hourly?
I can't.
Yeah. Like 20 cents.
I've no idea. I don't know. I've never thought. I don't even want to do that calculation.
No, don't.
That'd be terrible. That would be like trying to imagine a good reason to keep going. You'd be like, and then it's just about community, isn't it? It's just about how much you like doing it yourself, you know? And that's where, like, burnout, for example, I said, so me and Matt actually talk daily, pretty much. We send each other messages every day because I feel I am there for him. I've had problems in the past with mental health and stuff. And as I said to you before, I don't know if you recorded it before we went live, I was saying, like, we're doing this community job and everything, community manager job, and YouTube, because I don't want to walk away with YouTube, and doing my real job. In the last 10 weeks have been the biggest challenge I've ever had. But at the same time, I keep thinking, keep it up a little bit longer. Like, hopefully, maybe that community manager, if they go, yeah, we'll have you full time, or yeah, here's like a 2-year contract, or whatever it's going to be. Because it was kind of like, does it suit you? And I'm like, I don't know. Does it suit you? And they're like, we don't know. So he was like, well, let's just do this for a little while and see how it goes. So it was one of those things. But all I know is I need to work harder while working harder to hopefully not work as hard later on. So I'm trying to do that at the moment, but it's fucking hard. Like, and the other thing to remember is as well, sometimes if you're not doing a video, like the worst thing in the world. Like when you said about live streaming, it's funny when you said that, because I know I've been in that game before and it doesn't bother me as much now for some reason, but it did. Brian Paul, for example, would always be one of the first people live streaming because he was the biggest channel. So he deserved to get those keys first. Yeah, he was the premier PSVR channel and still is, technically, I think. And that doesn't matter what size you are. Like, thinking back then, I was like 3,000 subs and I'm like, dude, I want to be live streaming that game now. You know, and he obviously knew that people felt like, so I remember him having access to the persistence. And I didn't really ever hear him talk about that game, but I played that demo, like, I don't know, 10 times. I was absolutely beside with the game. Couldn't wait to play it. And he was playing it first, had loads of people watching him. And he said in his video at the time, he was like, I've got early access today. They've told me I am allowed to do this. Just me, like no one else trying to approach him, go crazy and all that. And I was thinking, God damn it. Like, I'd love to do that. I'd love to be. It's just how it is. Like, and you got to try and the natural pecking order, isn't it? Like, that's where you got to realize your place sometimes. And I think when you realize your place a little bit, like, you can do what you need to do to change it, but you shouldn't really be jealous of anyone else doing well for himself, you know, because they've obviously put in the work or they've got the community or they've got the viewers. Like, as I said, I think people watch you for you, and I think like Brian Paul's a really nice guy, so I think to myself, people watch him because they enjoy him and what he does. So who am I with my 3,000 subs who with shit thumbnails at the time, bad audio, blah 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 blah, and I'm like, dude, this isn't fair. Of course it's fair.
Well, you know? I agree with you. I mean, okay, there's two, I have two stands on this. Is that like there's part of me that goes, you know what, good on them. And I've said this to you before, but I definitely am a big believer in like, I'd rather lift someone up than compete with them. I just would. It's just my mentality. I'm more of a team player. I like that. I'd rather have fun with the people in the community than feel like we're at odds and we're competing. I'm not saying we're not competing, but I don't want that to be my priority. On the other hand, there are people like, I mean, look at Brian. Brian is someone who has never irked me in the fact that like, you're right, he's the biggest PSVR channel, but I feel like he's likable. He's got a nice community with him.
He's like okay likable.
But he is. But he seems like a nice guy in real life. And he's personal on camera. He puts a lot of effort in, and he's often set the bar for, so let's say, PSVR content, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I always looked at him and gone, I know why he's on top. I don't feel like that with all creators, and I said I hear what you're saying, GT, around the fact that it's like kind of like good on them, I should be happy for them, and I am, but at the same time it's kind of like it's hard not to just sit there and critique and just go,
yeah, man,
they're not the best at what they're doing, and they're the best, and they're what people are seeing. And I mean, and you're right, I mean, the use a pecking order, and the algorithms see that too. And
yeah, I just found I needed to look at myself more than everyone else. I need to look at, well, what, instead of going, what are they doing? Or I kind of thought, what can I improve? Because if you're doing the best you can, that's all you can do. And then as long as you, yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think,
but YouTube doesn't reward hard work.
No, it does not.
There you go. That we should almost end it on that.
And we could have just put that right at the beginning. You know, like it won't do that.
You're right. It doesn't always. Definitely. And I think at the end of the day, I think the moral of this conversation has been, which is what GT had said, was, it really does come down to what type of content you want to do, and then kind of being true to that.
I think that's
what it does. And you hope that, and obviously, like you said, without looking, you know, you have to keep your head on a swivel a little bit and see what's up and out there, but you definitely have to decide, what kind of content you're going to do. And I guess for me, I guess at the end of the day, and I don't mean this to sound like, I'm on my high horse. I still feel like a gamer. I still feel like a gamer first, when I'm talking VR games, and I want people out there who are getting into VR and excited for VR and looking, like you said, spending money that they don't necessarily have a ton of, properly.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that is where I come into the market. And when I'm being judgmental on certain content creators, it's not really because I'm like, look at all those views. I want those. I mean, obviously sometimes that irks, right? But at the same time, it's more just like, I want those people to know what they're buying. I don't want someone to, you know, it's like we talked about those Oculus ads where it's like, what, let's see what you got, Oculus. And they just like this real, almost this like real life, like blockbuster quality Population One footage. I'm like, it doesn't look like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blind?
I know.
They're going to hate it. Some kid's going to put on a Quest and go, what the hell? Yeah. I don't think that helps.
I was just going to say as well, like, if you ever feel you're not doing that well, like, just normally have a look at your analytics and work out. Like, if it's going upwards, then it's a good thing. Well, even if it's a little bit, you know, if it's going upwards, that is the right direction.
I agree. And I think that for anyone who's, say, thinking of getting into YouTube or they're younger and they're looking at us going, hey, I know these guys. I would say, like, yeah, look at your analytics, look at your click throughs and your view time. That's the thing that I look at the most. Like, views are one thing, but if they're clicking on it, going, oh, this guy sucks, and they're not watching anything, then like, why are you putting in the time?
It's weird. I had a conversation with my Discord the other day. I've got a real habit of wanting to get to the point as quick as possible in my videos, and it's funny, like, you're talking about what you're talking about. I look around and some people like waffle about stuff that's not even relative, first of all. You know, they just waffle and talk and blah blah blah. And like, it was weird. I've got lots to say, quite a lot. But in a way, I think to myself, you're only here for a certain amount of time, and I mean this in a massively picture of you're only here for a certain amount of time in life. I don't want to waste your time. I just want to give you what I think you want to hear. So I said to him in a Discord yesterday, I was like, guys, I'm looking for some feedback, really. I don't want to sit there and talk about something that isn't that important, maybe about myself, maybe about my feelings and stuff, because what that would do is potentially I could be fishing to increase my watch time. Yeah, it could be a load of waffle, blah, 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 nothing about the game, and there is a chance it could increase my watch time if people watch it. I said, but I don't tend to do it because I feel it's a little bit wrong in my mind that you would want to just waffle and talk about stuff. It's better to just get to the game. And they were like, yeah, but we like listening to you. So why, if it's a genuine thing of like, you've got something to say, then do it. And I was like, okay, I will, you know, like, cause I feel like I'm happy to talk about stuff, but it's a constant, I think it's a constant self-study, isn't it? If you want to grow and you want to do well for yourself, you've always got to look at yourself and go, what am I doing? How am I doing it? And am I happy with doing it? And if you're not happy, why are you doing it? And, you know, and that was part of the mental health thing I was talking about. If I'm making content that is purely for someone else, in a style for someone else, based on analytics, like, I'm a fucking robot, you know? I'm just... Yeah, I took myself out of it completely. It's not me making that content. I'm being steered by everyone else around me. So that's kind of like, a few times I've battled with that. A few times, probably more than a few times, have I battled with settling down with where I want to be and what I want to do. And, you know, if it grows, it grows. Because YouTube's fucking poison. That bloody YouTube studio app, man. If you're not getting confetti, you're like, dude. I know. This video is in like number 10. Why is this video any worse than the other video I did? I don't know. It's not getting confetti though. You know, and it's just, and that's a terrible, that in itself is a bad thing, because you're just chasing every, how often do you get a video that is as good as the last one? Very rarely. Very rarely do you go, yeah, that's number one. That's strength, number one. You never, that's number
strength,
one.
The strength, the strength. Well, yeah. And as VR content creators, we don't necessarily have strength to strength, you know, like, it's like, yeah, it's, I'm just saying, like, it can't always be, yeah, top one.
The niche. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I'll, one last question for you, GT, because I think this is kind of interesting, what you were talking about there. Have you ever found, do you find, I mean, this is actually really relevant to you right now. Do you find yourself in kind of a position where you're looking at being in the industry, like, you know, as like full time, you know, being a community manager or something else in the industry versus your passion project, which is would be the channel.
I won't give this up. And I said that to him when I took the job, and that I was very lucky. As I said, I applied for other places and there is restrictions. There are things they won't accept. So one of my restrictions now is basically, and actually I kind of put this on them. I was like, dude, I'm not going to do full review videos anymore. One, I don't particularly like doing them. Two, they take a lot of time and I just want to play a game and enjoy myself. You know, I do most of the time. I do just want to play a game. And it's funny. I went into that thinking that'd be great. All I can do is just live stream all the time, but I still find myself editing, but they were like, whatever. You know, there was no restrictions there at all. It was just like, do what you got to do as long as you do what we've asked you to do. But again, I said to them, I was like, for example, with Solaris, I said to them, this situation happened. I will not stand there on a camera and go, this is a good idea. But I would tell you internally, this is a bad idea. Yeah, that'd be me. And they went, that's fucking great. That's exactly what we want. That's why we want you here. We want you to stand there and go, what the hell are you doing? You know, someone's got to stand there and do that.
I think all these companies should have a few real VR gamers that were like, the fuck, guys.
End of the day, you're experts in the field, though. You got to realize that you are. Well, how many games have you guys played? How many?
As I said, we're gamers first. But okay, I'm going to end it on this as my last thing because I had this point right here. This was something that came up in the Eric for President thing. GT just stepped on it, and they talked about at what point do we walk across that line of being experts or promoters? And the developer was talking about sometimes how frustrating it is for developers to watch certain YouTubers and go, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah, it must be really frustrating. It must be really frustrating.
Seriously, though, you know, like, I mean, I probably step on toes, too, because I'm not a developer, but I try to make comments on what I think's happening on screen and what they should do better.
Dude, I cannot imagine the amount of developers who have gone, this guy's a dick. Yeah. Like, he's literally just said, Ivanovich Games today. They've told me their game is $20. And I'm sitting there saying, it's good fun. It was not too bad in 2018. I wouldn't pay $20 for it. It's a $10 game. They'll be sitting there. That's people's livelihoods.
I know.
Yep.
But it's still my opinion. And I can't, like, and like you said about burning bridges, it's a risk. And at the end of the day, if it's burning a bridge, all we have to do is buy the fucking game. Yeah. Like everyone else, is buy the game and go, there it is, and then say what you want. So, I think certain developers, as long as it's valid criticism and as long as you're making sense, because I think there's two ways of doing it. You can just be negative, or you can be negative. You can be constructive, and that's the other thing, isn't it? Yeah, you can say to them,
"That's the difference, though, right?"
Yeah. Why did you do this? You could have done this. Yeah, when you don't offer a solution. That's not great. If you just go, that's shit, they go, well, what did you fucking want? Like, have you got a better idea? That's the difference, I think, dude. And then, you know, that stands out a lot more. And I think more developers will come back to you with their next title and go, we listened to what you said. You know, VR Cover did that with me, actually. VR Cover has been a great affiliate for me. The first stuff I got from them, and everyone was saying how great it was, I was like, it's not that great. It's all right. Like, it's the, and there was the grips these guys done. It wasn't VR Cover. It was someone else. Dude, I was like, do not buy this shit. I even put a big stop sign. Mm. I'm like, don't buy this. It's crap. And everyone else is like, it's really good. Don't know what you're talking about. I love it. And I'm like, it's just my opinion. And, you know, what can you do? What, just, you know.
I love it. I mean, that's why we wanted, that's why I really wanted you on here, GT, is because it is, it is a different opinion, and you have definitely, like, community engagement has been something that, that you've done, much more of than I do. Like I said, like, you'll sit there and you have a platform where you can talk a little bit about yourself. I'm not going to be like, hey guys, graphics is up first. Oh, by the way, I'm having a bad day. My dog died. And, I just wanted to let you guys know that, you know, I've got this erectile dysfunction and I'm really bummed about it. But hey, let's talk about gameplay. Like, you know, it's a different vibe, but I definitely appreciate you coming on here and giving kind of your two cents into how you view the industry. I really appreciate that. So I really appreciate you coming on here.
Thank you.
Yeah. And thanks for joining us, Ryan.
Yeah. Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
I'm really sorry.
No. That's not. If anything, Chris talked too much. Don't worry about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, fair enough.
Remember that whole thing about getting to the point, GT? Yeah. Little bit there. On that note, guys, thanks for joining us so much. GT, where can people find you? Or at least where do you want them to look first?
Twitter? Yeah. I like Twitter. Twitter's great. I love Twitter.
Good promo.
Well, you guys will see.
Hate self-promotion, man. It's so like...
Will see his tag below his face the entire time that he's been talking here. So you guys can go check him out there, and we'll put some links in the notes below too. If you guys haven't checked out his content, and you definitely want to, so the notes will be in below there. You can find him on YouTube, and then from there you can check out his other socials there. Guys, thanks again for joining us. Don't forget to like and comment, especially comment. Because I love the comments in these episodes, because it's my favorite thing is to just, I want people to weigh in on this. I want to know what people think about it, because I don't necessarily get that my finger on the pulse of what people think about who they're watching and what they want to see. I love that. So guys, feel free to do that. We also have a Patreon. So if you want to consume us more, check that out as well. And, I guess that's all I got.
I got nothing.
GT's got nothing. What is the time? It's got to be like 1 a.m. for you.
It's 8 minutes past midnight.
Well, I appreciate you burning the midnight oil with us, literally. Guys, thanks for stopping by, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
See you.
Bye.